What is up, you guys? Welcome back to Millennial Hollywood here on the Popcorn Talk Network. Today, things are getting a little freaky, so stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
What is up, you guys? Welcome back to Millennial Hollywood here on the Popcorn Talk Network. We are so excited. We've got the creepy music playing. And, look at that little picture up there.
Yeah.
That's Mom. A little much.
But we're so excited. We are going to be talking about Freakish Season 2. A lot of these guys came in on Season 1, and we're so excited to have them back. And we have some new faces for this cast. And in the meantime, we are getting ready to talk about it. Where can everyone find you guys on social media?
Hi, I'm Tyler Chase. I play Barrett on Freakish. And you can find me at Tyler Chase Official.
Ooh. On Instagram.
On Instagram.
So official.
You gotta plug which one it is.
And that's the website that you can find it on.
Yeah. I'm Megan Rinks. I play Zoe Parker, and you can find me just at Megan Rinks on everything.
All right.
I'm Brant Daugherty. I play Jake on Freakish, and you can find me at Brant Daugherty.
I'm Leo. I play Grover on Freakish, and my Instagram and Twitter are a bit of a call and response. One is, who is Leo?
Which one's that?
Instagram?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Jeez,
thank
Mom.
You. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I'm like, we know.
Who is Leo is my Instagram, and my Twitter is, I am Leo Howard.
Wow.
That was done unintentionally. Was
so it's almost like you were wondering, like, who am I? And then once you made your Twitter, you're like, I
this
am.
Is who
like,
I know
who I am.
You found your identity.
Thank God, I figured out who I am.
Right?
Thank you, Twitter.
Good for you. I'm Ryan McCartan. I play Oliver Keller on Freakish.
And where can they find you on social media?
That's right. So on Twitter, I'm at Ryan McCartan. On Instagram, shout out to whoever took at Ryan McCartan. Someone took it.
That's awful.
So I'm at MCCARYA, which was my login in high school.
All right.
How do you say that as a word?
McCaria.
Oh.
Because it's half my last name, half my first name.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh. Tell us how you
mean. I mean, so animosity. Next time,
no, that's my boyfriend's. All of his handles are like that. I'm like, none of this is your name, but like this is like combined. I hate it.
That's amazing.
I don't get it.
That's okay. Incredible. Well,
follow me or not. I guess choice. The choice is yours.
All right, and you guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones. Woo. Let's jump in. We're here for Season 2.
Yes.
So exciting, and I'm glad you can make it this time.
Oh, I know. I'm excited to be here.
I don't know what happened last time. You just
Barrett
here.
Did not want to come out.
I guess not.
Yeah.
So when did you guys figure out when Season 2 was happening? When was this like a thing? Because it took a while.
Was it January?
Well, there were rumors for a while. I think like other actors on the show who are currently working were having to ask other productions for availability and stuff. Mm. So we were hearing like whispers about it. And those of us who are like seriously unemployed, I was like, well, whenever anyone else hears, please just let me know because I don't have to clear any dates with anybody. So yeah, I think it was probably January. We heard it in the new year. And then I think it was officially set probably like January, February probably.
Yeah.
That's
Do you
awesome.
Remember where you were?
Do I remember where I was? You remember where I was. Where was I?
No, I don't. I was just...
Oh.
I mean, from the sounds of it, you were probably...
No, there was nothing behind that. There was nothing behind that. I was just curious.
Well, you were on your road trip.
I was literally on a motorcycle.
Yeah, no, you called me. You called me.
Yeah.
And I remember that. Yeah. I think we all FaceTimed.
You know what?
Each other.
You were probably at home recording
knitting?
Your podcast.
Yes.
Don't blame me.
Oh, thank you for that promo.
Yeah, with the special guest last week.
Yeah.
Well done.
I heard about that. Was that fun?
Oh, it was a blast. I love giving my opinion where it's not welcomed.
Me too.
It's one of my favorite things. Assuming that people care about my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always unwelcome. So.
Exactly. So I'm used to it at this point. So opinions. I just give it anyway.
We've they are like buttholes after all.
I like white.
Everyone has
That's my opinion.
There you,
you.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. So obviously there are some new characters that we have in this season. There's actually quite a bit of new characters mm-hmm. in this
quite
season.
Quite a few.
So whenever you found out that there was going to be an addition, were you kind of confused? Like, are these kids who are just like stuck in the high school that were like stuck in a random room? Or did you know that there was going to be outsiders kind of coming in?
I mean, I got terrified when I saw Saxon because I was like, oh God, there's two blondes. One of us has to die.
Uh-oh. Oh no.
I was terrified. But
so
the way the season ended, the first season, you see a bunch of unidentifiable people walk into the school.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we all knew that there was going to be new people. Didn't know, you know, there was going to be multiple groups. Didn't know mm-hmm. if they're going to be good, bad, you know. So it was a surprise for all of us, but we knew that there was going to be a new group thrown into the mix.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We were excited about it.
And Brant and Ryan, we actually are some of the newest characters. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your character and their background?
I played Jake. He is known for his heavy, heavy beard.
Yes.
And grim demeanor. 100% of the time, which I think is pretty much just me.
Yeah,
like, regularly.
Always.
Like, just grim. Walking around being
yep.
a massive jackass to everyone. He's, you know, he's part of this other group. So there's these, you know, these new kids that come in, and there's then this other group, which is Jake Busey and Tati Gabrielle and I and Amanda. Mm-hmm. I'm blanking on her last name.
Steele.
Thank you. So we're this, like, what do they call us? The Misfits.
Yeah.
This group of misfits. Yeah. And we kind of break into the school and start messing things up for everyone.
They sure do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They totally
especially poor Crawford.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the guy that you impaled on a skateboard?
Sure was. Yeah. Yeah.
Moment
yeah.
of silence for him.
Yeah.
For
we went to go film that fight scene, and he was like, this isn't fair.
Like, sorry. Oh, the injustice.
Yeah. He's probably all excited, like, oh, I got this new show. Like, yeah, awesome.
Exactly.
And he just gets stabbed. And what about your character?
Yeah. So I play Ollie Keller. He is a spoiled, pretentious, rich kid in the apocalypse, which those two things just go hand in hand.
I'm surprised he survived so long, to be honest.
Well, no, I mean, so you know, following sort of the apocalyptic trope, you know, we have this group of people who we know and we love, and we figure out who they are and how they work in the apocalypse, and then we introduce these new people, and it, you know, shakes up the whole paradigm, and so that's sort of where me and my group comes from, and my character and his sister Anka, they are spoiled. They're completely unequipped to handle the apocalypse, and that's why they're a part of this group, because they picked them up on their way, and they're like, okay, these people are clearly helpless. We need to let them hitch a ride.
I mean, I am surprised that they'd lasted so long already, but I can kind of see why, because they're very good at manipulating people. If mm-hmm. that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, you guys are maybe not so street smart, but you're brain smart, and you're like, I know how to make these people find
right. I mean,
me worthy of.
We've done it our entire lives.
Yeah. Little rat.
Mm-hmm. Little weasel.
Right. But you know what? I love the new additions of the characters, and I think that Saxon's character, Anka, is a really cool one as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just think that the entire cast is kind of cool, because you guys all kind of just shape-shifted into this larger cast. Mm-hmm. And was there any challenges going into this new show, knowing that these characters are already so established, and you were going to kind of having to make your own story, in a sense?
I mean, my first, like, 5 episodes of the show, I kind of just glare at people. Yeah, so I had no idea how I was going to fit into anything at all.
You had, like, a soft entrance, you know? You're like,
they gave me this audition scene, and I was like, oh, cool. And they're like, yeah, you're just going to be Jason Voorhees, essentially.
Yeah.
He was going to creep around and stalk people and murder them in the school.
Were you the one who, like, rolled the skateboard back, like, because there was, at one point, there was a skateboard that goes into this dark room, and then there's someone just rolls it out. I'm not sure who.
I mean, nobody ever gave me credit for it, but okay. I'm going to go ahead and take it.
You're going to take it.
Yeah.
Because I was always wondering, like, who is that? Like, he just, like, grabbed a skateboard and ran off like it wasn't that big of a deal, and I'm like, someone was in there.
What was I doing in that? Like, what a creepy freak. Thing. Like,
maybe it was just a friendly freak.
Maybe he
rolling
was.
Rolling the skateboard back.
Just like, super weird. I'm going to kill you with this in a few scenes.
Yeah,
just like, push for it.
I'm not ready yet.
You dropped this.
I mean, that's kind of the common theme, though, a topic that was discussed. You said friendly freak. Do you think that they have any type of moral? Do you think that they have any type of human left inside of them? I mean, that just, I don't
it's
think
something
they
you brought up the other day that you were talking about, this idea of,
yeah.
of what
yeah.
they are.
Yeah, well, and we bring that up this season. Like, last season, we're all trying to survive and just fight for our lives. This season brings up the question of, these were people, so can they be back to people after this happens? And if we kill one, are we killing a person? So it brings up this kind of humanity question that we deal with. And also, something fun about this season is, the first season, in my mind, the show is about us surviving with these freaks. This season, you're not as afraid of these freaks as you are these people. Like, the people are sometimes more terrifying than these creatures. And so the freaks are always there, and that's a constant sort of pressure thing that's happening. But these people, and can I trust these people? Are they going to kill me and steal my home? Or, you know, so there's a lot of fun sort of things that are thrown into the mix this season that way. We deal with the humanity question. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I hope by, like, next season we really figure out if there is a way to, like, turn them back.
And I think based on where it's left,
right.
My instinct would be to say that we do go that direction, because we know that he can go outside without a mask. We know that Grover might be able to. We know that there's certain people like that. So I would imagine that we'll start to explain what it is and how we can fight it.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting that you know, the apocalypse in this case is started by this, like, airborne contagion. I mean, when you think about it, some people are allergic to pollen, some people aren't. Some people, you know, have struggle with breathing in certain, you know, population-dense places, some people don't. So, you know, there is sort of this idea of, like, who is allergic and who might not be.
Exactly.
Right. You know, that kind of thing.
Who's treated, who's a test subject.
Right.
And, there's a lot of interesting... I will say, if you watch the first episode of the first season, like, it goes in a really interesting direction from that to where we're at now.
Yeah,
so it's really really fun.
Definitely. Yeah. I love the way that season two has kind of evolved. And like you said, you're almost more afraid of like, okay, who's on whose side type of a thing.
Even tonally, it's dark and it's edgy. It's not as much like a high school show anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Well, right. When I auditioned for it, it was pitched to me as Walking Dead meets The Breakfast Club. Yeah. Yeah. And when I was on set, I was like, this is not The Breakfast Club.
This is The Walking Dead.
Exactly. You missed the scene in The Breakfast Club where everyone's covered in blood.
Yeah,
I guess I did.
You must have missed that scene.
It was a good one.
But yeah, it does. It again, that sort of typical, you know, apocalypse trope of like eventually enough time goes by that all of the people who have survived mm-hmm. are like dangerous badasses. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so when you combine two groups of dangerous badasses, it's like survival of the fittest.
Exactly.
You know, like who's... What are you going to do to survive?
And who is going to survive? The morally perfect or the guys that are the brutes that just kill whoever's in their way? Like,
exactly.
which is the most effective in that situation? I would say the brute that kills
people. I would say...
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, kills people.
I mean, so you were injected with something.
Yeah. Like, Ryan and I, like, get away. Yeah.
Well, you can see the computer port on the back of my head, which Birdie has as well. And that's sort of the idea that's keeping us, you know, whatever experiment was done on us is what allows us to breathe in this air. I will say it was super weird. My first episode, they built this, you know, this exterior school set, and they covered it with all this yellow smoke and everything. And everyone,
awful.
All the crew was
they
wearing gas masks.
Yeah.
And they're like, "All right, go ahead in." And I'm like, "Where's my gas mask?" Like,
you
no, it's fine.
Because you were walking through a lot of it.
Clearly, not fine. If everyone else, is.
We don't think this stuff causes cancer.
Right, exactly. Yeah. One of the things that's really interesting too is when you have new cast members that come into a family that is already established, the dynamics actually reflect. Like, what's going on? We have new people coming into our cast messing up with us. I don't see you on set. You're there like 5 days.
Did we ever have a scene together?
No way.
I never had a scene with you.
No.
Yeah.
But it's really cool because
you saw me down
a
hallway at one point.
Reflect that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, you have these people and they're like, can I trust you? Do you get along with our group dynamic?
Right.
What are you trying to do with us? You know? And so, like, this weird kind of like playful, but truly kind of real thing starts happening where you're like, oh.
Life
you're
imitates
like, I don't know about
art
you.
Imitates life.
Yep. Mm. So true. And it's funny because there are obviously new characters, but there's also a lot of, not relationships, but kind of new people thrown in the mix to kind of mess up some of the ships that you all have already that were established.
Yeah.
So something that was interesting is like, you're not a new character, obviously, but from the last episode of season one, you guys were kind of like getting a little cuddly on the couch and stuff. And that kind of really played out in this season. So I do want to talk about that. But before we do, I want to just let everyone know we are entering a spoiler zone. So like, if you haven't binged the 10 episodes, like you might want to watch them before we...
Spoiler alert!
Oh.
Spoiler
alert! It's all a dream.
We don't exist.
Grover wakes up at the end of the second season. It's like, oh, that was terrible.
Like
Violet gets stabbed in the face.
That is true.
You've seen that so we're in the spoiler zone.
I mean, technically, yeah, we already prepped.
We're
it,
in
so.
The spoiler zone.
You heard the alarm.
You heard the alarm. If you didn't run away then, it's...
We didn't have any second pause.
No.
It should be off now.
Yeah. There you go. It's like spoiler zone. Oh, she dies. Okay. So obviously, speaking of death, it is a very sad thing, but... our man, LaShawn. So he is... It's kind of funny. There's obviously like this
I'm sorry, who...
Who?
Yeah, who?
He's gonna kill you.
It's like you have this rivalry with him, kind of. You obviously really, really like Zoe.
Yeah.
And he obviously is the boyfriend. So whenever he does get this gangrene and it's like his time to go, do you think that your character gave any second thought, or was he just like doing it for everyone's well-being, or did he have some ulterior motives?
I think it was probably both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I mean, like, there was a level of like, if you see in season one, he actually is trying to do things. I think largely probably out of his care for Zoe, but then season two comes around and he is faced with this position of, frankly, he's statistically ruining our odds of surviving.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm faced with the moral dilemma of, can I actually kill a human being? It's the first time he's ever had to deal with that. And so I think on the one hand, yeah, probably does get something out of it. He really does, you know, probably love and care about Zoe, but then he also knows that at the end of the day, his life depends on it.
Right.
And then he's also having someone literally begging him, please kill me.
That's
so,
a tough situation to be put in.
Yeah.
For, sure.
For anybody. You know,
I just want to know how you did it, though. I mean, it was just so, like, clean.
Pillow.
Yeah.
Pillow.
Oh,
pillow.
Okay. I mean, that That took 5 minutes, but...
If you notice the folding of the blankets, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. That was kind of our reference to what
stroking
happened.
Stroking the pillow.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least it was... I don't know if it was painless, but at least it was clean. You know what
it
I'm
was
saying?
Clean.
There was no...
I really liked that moment also where he's standing over LaShawn. Mm-hmm. Like, in your face, you really see the, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do this, right? You know, yeah. the sort of vacillating between. I thought it was a really strong moment.
Well,
because
I think it also gives you room for people that are like, well, wait, if I was in the position, like, I think if he did just be like... Finally, then... Then no one, there's no empathy. There's no empathy.
Exactly.
There's nothing. You can't, it's not, we actually had a scene in season one and it was something that we can't really talk about, but there was like, we were watching as we were trying to like figure out the character.
Oh, yeah.
And we had something with our characters where like Barrett was a little bit too forward with Zoe. Like he was like kind of, and we were like, there's no way you can escape
that.
You can't get out of that. So that's really been cool to watch is how the writing in this season really supports people having multiple dynamics going on. I mean, even with, you know, some of the decisions your character makes about trying to say, yeah, everybody died. Like, that's really, you didn't have to do that.
I hated
at all.
The decision that you made. I watched it, I forgot about it, and I hated it.
I think it's cool with that because, I mean, obviously they can't see, like, the scripts that we're getting in that. But the note that was under it was, like, either he just, like, ruined, he just killed all of them by saying that they can't get rescued. Or he saved all of them in the chance of knowing that those people might have actually come to kill them. So it was like, we don't know if you saved us, or that was like our complete death sentence, which I thought was really interesting because it is open-ended.
It's open-ended.
Yeah. It's a you know, great metaphorical link to the whole freak dilemma. Like, how do you play with morality and survival in an apocalyptic scenario?
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone just does the best they can. And the chips fall as they do.
Because sometimes you think, you're like, yeah, I'd totally beat up that person because I hate them. But then would you really?
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Would you actually do it?
And I think
Would you throw your sister out to die?
Death is always on the table. That's the other weird thing about the apocalypse.
Right? I actually.
Okay.
Yeah, Grover did.
Too real.
Yeah. Real threw her out. Just put her on a leash and threw her outside.
So be sure to tune into our lovely fun show.
It's a half day. It's uplifting. It's uplifting experience watching.
But for real, though, I mean... Where did this? Because you guys have this helicopter that's standing by waiting for you guys, and the fact that your sister made you so mad, you realized how selfish and an awful person she was. But like that was so drastic of your character to just be like, "Screw this! I'm drugging everybody. I'm out of here." Type of a thing.
That was also a great scene, man.
It was great.
Thanks.
Seriously, I enjoyed it.
It was written well.
Yeah.
But so I mean, not to like be rude, but like. A spoiled rich kid overreacts and does something drastic. Big surprise.
That's true. I mean,
because we also have to remember, like, the one very stark difference between our show and, you know, a show like The Walking Dead is maturity.
Yeah,
I mean, we're kind of. Ollie's like 20 years old. I mean, when you're pissed at your sister for doing something terrible to you, you do something terrible.
It
back.
Feels like the end of the world. Yeah,
but. We're actually in the end of the world, and so we're actually dealing with end of the world consequences.
Yeah,
you know,
less than mature,
very
hormones.
Adult decision making, and we're
with, not capable, not capable
without adults. Yeah, and that's an overarching paradigm to this whole thing that makes everything very scary.
I totally agree. People. Like in the situation, you think about it and you go, would I be? Trying to have a relationship with this person if the world was ending as it is on the show. And me, in my mind, I go, no. But then I start thinking about it, and I go, well, if I've lost everything, and, you know, we're all in high school, yeah, I'm going to want to try and cling to something. So, like you said, you start breaking it down in terms of, like, these are kids, and they're put in really adult situations. You start understanding the logic behind why they do what they do.
Right. And we've only been there for, like, two weeks.
Yeah,
exactly.
The thing. Like, ultimately, too, it's as much as we screw each other over and people are doing this stuff, I think as
and
much...
And screw each other.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
I think as much as we get, like, we think we understand the consequences, we don't really, because we haven't been there long enough to, like, have recovered from any of these losses.
Right.
I think, like, we've all lost so much that we kind of just throw caution to the wind and we go on this, like, insane bender of, like, screwing each other over and all that stuff that I don't think we've, like, let any of the dust settle and kind of had to live with that stuff. So we just keep making bad decisions because...
It can't.
Yeah.
I mean, the dust never will settle, you know? I mean... Theoretically speaking.
Yeah.
And probably literally.
Literally,
yeah, the dust and the valley probably won't settle.
Do you think, though, that your character could ever forgive him for doing such a thing. I mean,
okay, this is
whoa.
I'm already excited. I love this. And I was talking to our show creator and writers about this. Was for me, I think when I got the script, there's some things I really relate to Zoe on, and there's other things like with the stuff that happened between us. I, as Megan, am like, no, I completely understand what Barrett had to do. Like, mm-hmm. that's what he had to do. But I also understand how Zoe feels in that situation. Obviously not literally, because never in that situation. But I would love in season three, ideally, if we get one, my goal would be for her to be in the exact same position that he was in. So it's having to do that exact same thing and have everybody be there looking at her being like, you have to do like, what are you going to do this? Are you going to, and her knowing, cause she's with right now, she's pretty much with almost exclusively all the newbies. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you've been here longer. Like, what do we do? And knowing that responsibility and then having to go through and do that. And I think that for her is understanding the position that he was put in and realizing that she would be doing this not out of like spite or disgust for whoever she would have to do this to. It's to save everybody else. And I think in that moment she could understand and forgive him. And that's what I would love. It'd be selfishly a wonderful character arc. And I'm like, let me do it. But I also think it makes sense, because as much as I sided with Barrett and everything, I was so surprised by all of like everyone on social media and all of the fans were like, no, Barrett had to do it. He had to do it. Yeah. And I didn't think that they were going to be so on his side and being like, and I was getting all this shit for like leaving, and they're like, I can't believe Zoe betrayed them. I'm like, I'm sorry, I know I'm not on Zoe's side either, but like, he killed her boyfriend,
right?
And so it was crazy to me to see that they were able to look at the bigger picture and know that he was really having a hard time doing it too. And so I think that would be something that'd be really, really cool for
definitely
her to do.
I really like that. And something that I want to see more of, and I would hope in season three we would see this, is more of Jake's character. Because for the first few episodes, we see you kind of like creeping around, and I'm like, who is he? Like, why is he able to walk around without a mask? Mm-hmm. And then whenever we kind of get to know your character a little bit, we don't get to know in depth a lot of like where he came from. Because, I don't know, did they erase your memory?
Honestly, Jake doesn't really know where he came from. That was kind of what they said, is he's essentially 2 weeks old. Mm-hmm. Like, he was released when the explosion went off, but he's kind of woke up in this laboratory. And, you know, Birdie's next to him, and he has this innate need to take care of her and watch over her. But he doesn't really understand why he's doing anything that he's doing. And that was one of the things, that fight scene we talked about with Crawford.
Oh, it's cool, because you can tell that, like, you're surprising yourself.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
That was the idea, was that he isn't in control of himself. And he has all this training and this, you know, and these muscles and this awesome beard. And but he doesn't understand any of it. Yeah. So when he's cornered, he lashes out like an animal. But he really does want to take care of Birdie.
Yeah.
And he's just playing on these primal instincts. I think his whole experience on this show, he's just survival. Take care of the people I know. Take care of my own. Don't let these people hurt my people. Mm-hmm. Until eventually he kind of realizes that these people can be his people. Not his people. They can be Birdie's people.
Yeah.
And he understands that maybe he did find her a place that she can be in the end. And I don't know if he knows where he fits into that.
Because we see you kind of, I mean, whenever they look back, you're gone. So, like, you're still alive, but we're just wondering, like,
well, am I alive or am I a freak?
Ooh, that's true.
Oh, could you imagine Jake as a freak?
You're a White Walker dragon now.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I can just see, like, the prosthetics added to you, like, maybe, like,
be more time in hair and makeup every day.
I mean, that would terrify me. I don't know if you guys would be terrified. Yeah.
I mean, Zoe's dead if that happens. She's holding on.
I don't know. She might
be
like, oh, look at him.
Ollie's fine.
You want to rescue him. You never know. This could be another ship.
I could.
You think so?
Barrett wants it.
My theory is that you're gonna like be like a dark like overlord.
So while we're doing our wish lists, mm-hmm. I want Ollie to be like the governor.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
Yeah, that nice. He establishes this new
community,
faux utopian society in the apocalypse with his, you know, helicopter, and then y'all find him, and it's like, oh, we're at war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be
cool.
Kanye leaving you?
Yeah.
I also kind of like the idea of you being, like, not a mastermind behind everything that's happening, but, like, getting intel on us, and then we, like, find you and you're in a suit with, like, all of, like, Keller Chemical, and you're like, okay, so the kids are still in high school, and this is what's happening, and this is what's happening, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you're, like, seriously evil.
So, like, for those who don't... look at, I mean, for those who don't know, what is your parents' involvement in all of this? Because, obviously, you're trying to hold the fact that you are a Keller, and once people find out, everyone freaks out. So, like, what was their involvement in all of this?
I don't think we know. Yeah. I don't.
We
I
don't
mean, because yeah. again, like you have, and I just, if there are any like, you know, rich kids watching, like I'm not, you know, bashing you.
We're just jealous.
But we're playing with a very specific paradigm of like spoiled rich kids, right? Mm-hmm. And I think they spend their parents' money. I don't think they care where it comes from. I don't think they know what their parents are doing. I don't think their parents talk about it. Like, you know, they just live in a castle on the hill. I don't think they have any idea, but which is ironic because from what we can assume based on the explosion, they were probably there, which means they're probably dead. Although who knows, maybe they were, if they orchestrated all of it, then maybe they're off somewhere, in which case Ollie's probably regrouping. But if they're dead, Ollie's the head of the company.
Yeah.
So that's sort of like, welcome to office, Mr. President. Here's all the shit on aliens. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like now he knows.
I want to know what his reaction would be to all this, because I don't know if he'd be scared and like want to step away from it, or if he would embrace it because it's part of his family.
He would have to embrace it. It's his company now, which means he's complicit.
Yeah.
And is going to do everything he can to continue whatever the cover-up is.
Definitely.
Which is another interesting paradigm that hopefully we'll get to play with should a season 3 happen.
Yeah. And like the whole thing going on with the parents and like not knowing their involvement, your situation was different than Grover's situation, because I don't think Grover had any idea that his father was in charge of this Project Wednesday.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So that was probably like a hard hit on your character.
Yeah, it was a really difficult thing, because Grover's a guy who always strives to do the right thing and be as morally just as he can. And here he is finding out that he has direct involvement by association to who caused this experiment this test to go wrong that caused this outbreak of whatever it is. And so there's this weird sort of guilt, involvement, ashamed that, you know, he's trying to help people through the situation, but he's a part of the reason it's going on. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really interesting thing. I was really excited when I read that part, because that's a fun thing to play, a really conflicted, you know, situation like that.
Yeah.
His dad's basically in charge of, you know, Project Wednesday.
Yeah.
So.
And it's kind of interesting to see your character and Tyler's kind of go off and be misfits, because you guys are kind of driven out of
It's kind of like unlikely friends, you know what I mean? Like, we're the two opposites on the show, and we're both put in a position where in episode 5, I get accused of doing something that I did do, but I do it for good reason, sabotaging the beacon.
Mm-hmm.
And
says you.
I think it's for... I totally agree with everything Grover says.
Maybe Felicity.
Unintentionally killed Felicity. Felicity put herself in danger.
I won't rehash this.
We'll just reenact the scene. No. I get basically banished from the school, and Barrett chooses to come with me, and there's this sort of dynamic where we don't like each other, and we are, by the end of it, friends. I mean, it's the first time you actually see Barrett open up to someone about, like, being friends with anyone, you know? And, you know, I get to see what his life was like. And it's interesting also because Barrett's this, again, rich kid who is self-made. And Grover sees where he came from in his house. And he starts to understand why Barrett is the way he is.
Right. So. Definitely. And we see your character really kind of break down, because we've never really seen... I mean, we've seen an emotional side of him, but it's very guarded.
Yeah.
And to see your character just totally strip all that away by a figment of... your imagination, because you're not there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And it was very apparent that you weren't, because you were totally acting different.
Yeah.
But you needed to cling on to have someone with you, because you were all alone in that situation.
Yeah, and I think a lot of Barrett's things are... His survival in the world was constantly based on manipulating things in order to... or being one step ahead of things. So he designs an app so he can be popular and have more money and be able to feel like he has some form of power. Even though he comes from a family which is actually, like, really loving and giving, but he never feels like he's an insider.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, even when, like, what's really cool is that, you know, because our whole hacker group, we knew about this, and I think he's genuinely stepping from this point of care, but it's all buried.
everything. His feelings, he's not okay with them. He doesn't have confidence in being able to be like, I would like to be your friend. I would, you know, and but then when there's a necessary danger, when there's something where there's real problem solving, he's like, oh, wait, I can do this now. I can do this now. Yeah. And then what I loved about it was just there were these decisions which were so confusing for him, mm-hmm. because they were more of a Grover type of decision. It was more of, and I think, you know, the moment he had to like kill Deshaun, he was like, oh, that's what you were saying about mm-hmm. Mary. That's what you mean. Like, there are all these things about, like,
there's a lot of those parallels in the show where one character, like what you're saying, mm-hmm. one character will go through something, doesn't understand it.
Yeah.
Someone else tries to give him advice on it, and then they end up being put in the same position, and they come back to the character and go, I realize why you did what you did.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like Mary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Similar situation as LaShawn. And you don't understand it, so that would be yeah. the logical next step. Yeah.
And it's really cool to have Grover's hallucination kind of represent
like
self-denial.
Yeah.
Like having that being this one final step and like really trying to show what does it take to truly open up into yourself and admit maybe you were wrong mm-hmm. or maybe you hurt on the inside. Like that's really cool. That's a really cool way to do that.
That was also interesting for us because as me, I go through the show playing Grover and then I get this episode where I'm just not.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I just completely the opposite. So we had a lot of conversations on basically like, what am I to him? Am I, you know, his conscience telling him how guilty he is? It's I'm that little thing in you where you go through a situation, you did the wrong thing and you feel like crap about it.
Yeah.
That was me talking to him. And so that was a really interesting dynamic to play, and watching him go to a brand new place as Barrett was really, really cool to see too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you all, I'm pretty sure that you two believe that everyone else is dead because
yeah.
of what he's done.
Yeah.
And so, it's you, man. You just
They're
screwed
not
everything
dead.
Up. But
You're
you guys...
Well, in a way, though, if you think about it, he's, by him saying everyone was dead in the school, it could be him trying to protect everyone.
No.
Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it leaves it open to,
yeah.
you know, he could have said they're still alive. They would have sent a cleanup crew in and killed everyone.
That's true.
So,
because that makes me think that you don't necessarily trust them. Like, your family as well, which I think
exactly.
is cool.
We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
That when Ollie pushes that button, he thinks that, like, his dad's friend mm-hmm. is going to come down and be like, oh, come on in the chopper. But it's a dude he's never seen and two guys with
yeah.
big guns.
Yeah.
And so
it's
there's
really real.
There's the moment where it's like, okay, they're not going to kill me because I'm the son of the Empire, but everything that they said was right.
Yeah, and that's yeah. what I think is, and you can see that on your face in that moment, which I think
yeah.
is so
yeah.
it's so cool because it's a similar storyline to what we're doing is when we as season one cast members, like our group, we season two start not trusting each other, and then mm-hmm. yours is like, this is your comfort, this is your family, this is the company, and then suddenly it's like, oh, maybe everything I thought was true is not true, mm-hmm. and like all that stuff, which I think is cool.
Yeah, I never really, I guess, I just thought you were just rude for leaving everyone, but I didn't really realize that you may be trying to protect everyone in a
yeah.
sense.
I mean,
it's open.
Ollie a little bit more credit.
Okay.
Or well, because, and literally, like, it is kind of funny because it's one or the other. He
yeah.
is either
yeah.
going to be pure evil or he's going to try to save the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, that's right. Fun.
And I really want to know what Jake's involvement in all this is going to be, because you guys are all established at the school. He's off getting ready
yeah.
to like run the Empire. And you, we see leave. We don't know what you are. We don't know if you've turned or what's going on. But you're still going to be a part of the story, I would imagine. I mean, you can't just like bring in a character and then just like leave like that.
Especially a character like Jake.
Yeah.
He's such a crazy powerhouse of unrefined nonsense.
Handsomeness.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We need the facial hair. We need it.
Oh, I'm going to have to grow that beard again.
Did you hate it?
Wouldn't it be wouldn't it be cool if Ollie just has like a
beard?
A beard? Just like an army of Jakes?
Oh,
because
yeah.
you're a creation of my father's company.
There's only
they
one.
All look
I'm
like
sorry.
You.
There's only yeah. one. Brand.
There's only
brand.
One. No, no.
An army of
an army
yeah.
of Jakes.
Yeah.
You get to play. Yeah, you get to play.
Get
like
and pay an army.
Yes.
Oh my God.
We should
Willy
do
Wonka.
Like a season 2.5
yes.
where we write what we
yeah.
think is
yeah.
going to happen.
The
and
fan
it's
theory.
Not nearly as good as we think it's going to be.
Yeah. Horrible.
No,
horrible.
My ideas are not that great.
Like, wow, we tied up all these loose ends and all these people suck now.
That's an interesting question. Like, where does Jake go after that? If he's tasked himself with protecting Birdie at all costs, and he's gotten to her a point where she can be safe. Where does he go? Does he just go roam the wasteland by himself?
Is he going to go to Mad Max?
Come find me, bro.
You want to hang out?
Yes. I have a copter.
All right, exactly. You guys can see the world, you know?
Yeah.
But it would be interesting, though, to see, because, I mean, I feel like your character, even though he doesn't really know who he is yet, he spends all of his energy trying to make sure others are safe. So he'll either find himself out in the wilderness, A, or B, he's going to search for someone else to save, in a sense, because that's what he's programmed to do.
Yeah, he's got, I mean, the idea was that he was a soldier before all of this happened to him.
Cool.
They erased his memory. So he's got those instincts in him, is, you know, no man left behind. I take care of my people, and I need to make sure everyone's safe. So does he roam and try to kill all the freaks on his own? What does he do? I don't know.
Yeah,
that's something I'd be really interested to explore.
Yeah. And on that note, let's move into, like, conclusions of, like, what we know in the end and what we could hope for moving forward if there's, like, a season three.
I got shot.
You did.
You don't get shot?
You got shot.
I got shot.
And you remove your mask, and it's one of those things where we would all think, oh, he would be turning by now. He would, you know, he's...
But I don't.
But you're kind of like this test subject, I guess, from your dad.
Yeah, so we hint at it when we are in the Federal Emergency Service camp when we find it. On the computer, there's a moment where we're reading about these test subjects, and it says, you know, this was found, the last test subject didn't go well, next test subject was to be retrieved, and the photo that I was hiding was a retrieval target. So the insinuation that is that I am also a lab experiment, similar to Jake and Birdie, and obviously the gas does not affect me.
Right.
So, I've been wearing a painter's mask, sweating my ass off for nothing.
I love that. So,
do you have a computer port hidden somewhere that we don't know about?
No, I was thinking it's a big one, too.
But so, with your character, we're guessing now that you had been tested on at a younger age. Maybe not to the extremes that, I mean, he's been implanted with something and...
Yeah, I definitely don't know about it. That's the thing, is Grover's... completely lost it. If it is
That's
something, it's something that his dad...
He's drugged every day.
I mean, it might be something that his dad protected him for, knew this was going to happen, and said, you know what, I'm going to protect him. Not married, but I'm going to protect him.
Vaccinate,
you know what I mean? That's the thing. Is like
my firstborn.
Yeah, vaccinate my...
children,
get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Just make sure it's by the right people.
But at the end, you see someone standing over me, and I say, Dad. And so...
Yeah.
There's going to be a dad for
me. Looks creepy, too. He's like... It's like... dark figure standing over your bed, and you're just sitting there like naked. Like,
always the fun thing about those is like they obviously, you know, we don't know if we're coming back to the third season, so they're not going to cast the character. So we have an ambiguous person standing there that we kind of think is going to be around the size and height and, you know, look of the dad. So we did that. It's always awkward shooting with someone that's just.
It's probably like one of the.
See you again. Probably
maybe,
not.
Yeah. It was this shot. It was this shot. He was standing, and he's great.
I watched this scene.
I'm laying down, and just bear with me. He puts his hand on my shoulder, and there's this long camera shot where they pull back slowly, and it, you know, builds suspense, and it's great. But the line is dad, and the gentleman that was playing my dad just is stroking my arm and staring into my eyes. And so for 20 seconds, just imagine me going, I go, Dad? And he just goes,
right?
Your delivery should have been more like, Dad.
Or it would have been really interesting if he would have been like, Daddy?
Daddy,
what show is this?
Daddy.
But so there's this eye contact. And at one moment I was like,
needs to be.
I had to stop and go, yo, can we just cut the stroke? The stroking? Just
it. Was he just like, oh, my bad, bro?
They told him to do it, so it wasn't him. He was doing everything perfect.
Do you know if he's a father in real life? Because we need to make some calls.
I think he just had a kid.
Whoa. Congrats, buddy.
Congrats.
I was like, let's get back to it.
Let's get back on track.
So with Barrett,
can you repeat the question?
Actually, I do really love this because we have
it's emotional.
For
do you
me.
Need me to like stroke your shoulder, or are we good?
Because speaking of dads, my dad and
your
family
dad?
And entire family is going to be kind of. I think they might have an appearance in season three because you notice we kind of were in the house, lots of family. The other thing is Tanya, my. Ex-girlfriend, who previously had some flirtation with our boy here. you know, finds
we
me
were
at
in
the
love.
End of the season.
Oh my gosh,
they were
that is the
love.
Same girl.
What do you mean,
that's
flirtation?
The same girl. So, and that's for a lot of people. Ooh. Some people didn't always notice that, but that's the same girl. And so I think we're going to see a lot about that. I think Barrett actually might even start developing his own relationship in his own world again because everyone's dead.
Yeah.
He thinks
I'm
everyone's
not dead.
I know, but
right.
then.
So they're going to Ross and Rachel
no,
you.
Get away from
yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
No, do not call me Rachel. I'm a Monica.
Oh.
Okay, but
Joey Tribbiani.
I'm not calling. Too smart.
How you doing?
They're gonna Ross and Rachel you,
yeah,
as
no,
in.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. But I literally written down in my notes, Barrett begins his journey to move on since he thinks everyone is dead anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And what relationship stands? I don't
his
think
his mending
there's...
process, his self-help
book. We can hang out, the three of us.
Yeah.
Well, and he was originally a hacker, so I think that's his other big thing is to try and get back at Keller. You know, so much that he's lost, I mean, he already tried getting back, and that worked out well.
Hacker.
So this time, he's going to cause the chemical
Do
outbreak
you think
to
you
go
can
everywhere.
Hack him?
That may be so.
The thing
you know,
is, he's
like,
a white hat hacker, and they're the special.
Oh. This is a big ongoing bit we have.
It was a line in the script that we thought was great. It was just a white hat hacker,
white
so he's always
hacker.
A white hat hacker.
White hat hacker!
That's a nice nickname.
Yeah, but it's going to be, I'm really excited to see what happens with Barrett.
Definitely. And like, all the relationships that we had pre-established, those are all pretty much broken down.
Done.
I mean,
yeah.
They're gone, you know?
Done.
I mean,
she's dead.
Of, I mean... I love Liza so
I
much.
Love
like
you.
I love her to death, and dead. She's gone.
She's dead.
She's dead.
She's
well.
Dead.
That,
you're
that was a, I was just gonna say that's a tough thing because when Grover finds out that everyone at school is dead, he has a moment of realizing that Violet's dead, and that's a weird thing because they ended on really bad terms, and it's horrible to lose someone in the first place. But when you care about them and you leave on bad terms, there's gonna be sort of a reconciliation of realizing that there's never going to be anything else in that, and that's going to be scary.
I like that they did that, though, because I think that you rarely see that. You see people tying up loose ends, and that's how you can predict characters dying, is because you're like, oh, you're so happy in here, and all these things are getting mended in your life. Oh, you're not safe. You're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I think that was such a cool thing. And
I also think
when you guys eventually come back to the school, which I am really hoping you do, because I need to get out of the school.
Right.
We all leave.
Or
I'm trapped.
Maybe you guys leave.
Yeah. But no, but I think it would be amazing to have a scene where you guys get back there, you think that we're dead, you see me, you realize that
and I think
we're alive,
Violet's
and you
alive.
Think Violet's still alive. And then that has to become that like that wave of being like, I've already mourned this, and then you get this like sear of hope, and then that's gone.
Yeah.
I think
and then they're
really
like,
cool.
Bro, she got shanked in the eyeball.
Yeah.
Like,
and then
Jake Busey
like,
got
well,
her.
I guess I can finally be with Ollie.
But here's
the
thing,
eyeball.
Ollie's gone. You'll be like, okay.
I'm really bummed that we didn't do a bit. When she got stabbed in the eye, the knife didn't just like,
Oh my god.
What?
You know what? Here's another theory. I mean,
like Violet? What?
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 Yeah.
What? What?
She did get stabbed in the eye, but there could be, I mean, she's exposed.
She could have
the window breaks, so she could have turned into
she's
a freak and just
dead.
Have like
she
a
She could lift.
She's definitely dead.
You just she comes back with an eye patch.
Nope, she's 100% dead.
Oh, then she's the governor.
And
I'm
she's the
down.
Governor.
Watch season 3.
I'm not done with that.
Definitely.
She's dead. Well, speaking of season 3, I mean, like, obviously we don't know anything yet, but that's something that you'd all be excited for, I'm assuming.
Including the fact that...
I was... Sorry.
We don't know if there is going to be a season 3,
yeah.
So there's
yeah.
that, too.
I was just thinking, of like, I wonder if the creators or writers are, like, watching
this and they're, like...
Just being like, they are so... Yeah, either be like, this is great, or like...
No,
they're so off. What are they talking about?
Or like, dang it, that's what I was writing.
I predicted stuff from last season, and that happened this season, so I like to think that I've been right.
I mean,
which is now they're, like, deleting everything that I've said.
You guys better get some royalties for plots that you've created.
Just don't kill me, that's all I need.
Yeah.
One of the things I'd like to see is, I'm not just, like, what happens to Jake afterwards, but what happened to him before?
Yeah.
You know,
I
would love to see
flashback moment.
You know how they got Birdie involved in this, and they're
totally.
starting experimenting on kids and possibly children of them, you know, their own people, and
what
the whole history with that is. Like, where did Jake come from? Is he a volunteer? Was he taken from somewhere?
Yeah.
Or
so,
like,
sorry. Then
I know
me and Anka must be immune.
Oh.
If you are.
I mean,
why? Oh,
well, no. Here's the thing.
Dad.
Here's the thing. My dad was. He was.
You were.
He was
a rogue.
He was a scientist. No. Well, yes. In my mind, the way I thought of it, we haven't actually explained it. But my dad's a scientist, and he got wind that this was going on. I like to think that my dad's a good guy, and he was like, I can't stop this, but what I can do is lay this sort of
I'll protect the favorite one, Sophie's Choice.
Yeah, lay down these sort of clues to explain to, you know, Grover or whoever that this is what's going on, so they can help. You know, because I would
maybe better instead of like doing clues of just like telling you. But
have a mask on though in that ending scene? Were you outside or what?
You know, I always have. I've always had masks on when I go.
Mask on.
We all wear masks. I mean, yeah.
But I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, but in that one scene where you're like talking to the guys and you're like, oh, they're all dead, I could have sworn you didn't have a mask
I didn't, but then I put it on the way up.
Oh, God, okay.
You'll remember because then I have a moment where the mask is on and I look back at the door like, am I doing the right thing? And then I'm like, DGAF, let's go.
Also, my favorite thing is to read in the comments, the fans are just like so on the chemicals. They're like, if you get into a car, it's going to sweep in like third. They're like, okay, also exhaust. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah. You know, but like, what's our favorite takes?
Come on.
We'd like be outside of the car. And then I love like, because sometimes you're just so in the moment. This is not a good actor thing to say, but I'd get into the car. I'd get into the car and I'm like, yo, man, it's crazy out there. And they're like, Tyler, your mask.
That's right.
Yeah, one more, please.
But that was us on the roof scene. We would like go on the roof and you're terrified. And there's so many times I turn around, I'm like, does everyone have everything on? I'm like, oh no, I forgot everything I have. This whole time when we prep for this, I forgot to put it all on. We have to start again.
That's amazing.
You forget.
Yeah, you're not used to having to wear a mask.
No, totally mask, sunglasses, really, scarf.
It's really fun to wear masks, scarves, four coats, 9 pairs of pants.
When it's 100
degrees in Los Angeles. That was great.
And you're allergic to the smoke.
Did they add all that smoke in like after the fact, or you
they added on?
That's there for. Well,
they had smoke and then they added on. But the hard part is you're on a roof,
machines.
And there's wind, and you have smoke machines, no and no that. Matter how much you pump out there, smoke gets blown away by the wind. So it's like you're running take after take to try and get the special angle of, you know, set the smoke there so it blows in.
Because sometimes the smoke could just go AWOL and just like go the opposite.
Yeah, and you've got crew members who have like giant cardboard things who are just like this close to you, just fanning it directly into your face. Yeah. Like, I know this looks great for you, but I'm choking.
Right? I mean, that really goes to show it's like an extra thing that you have to kind of prepare for as an actor. It's like crazy.
Dude, the scenes in the ambulance, this was great. We'd be sitting in the ambulance and we're sitting on a soundstage. So we have a heavier grip sitting on the back of the truck. Bouncing like this, bouncing against the truck, just bouncing, and then we have someone in front of us has like cardboard bits, and they're just throwing them there's a fan, and they're just throwing them in front of the windshield, and then you have a little bit like some guy with a light will just have it, and he'll go right by, and so you're having this really emotional scene, the truck's doing this, and then all of a sudden I hit the windshield wipers, we're like crying, and it's like and you're bouncing up and down, you know there's some dude on the back going checking his phone, bouncing the car, so. There's these moments where you go, this is why they pay actors.
Right.
Because you have to be on your stuff because it's not real at all.
I would love to see like what you guys are seeing. Like the guy.
Oh, no, you don't.
Guy who was doing the dust is my favorite. There's one who was just like, I just knew he was having such a wonderful day because he's standing right in front of the car and he's just going.
He was so passionate about it.
He's so passionate. And I'm like,
because he's timing it. He's like, and again.
Seeing Keller Chemical, and it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And he's like,
There's also the same thing with, you know, you're looking up, you're supposed to see, and you just see, like, the producers walking by eating sandwiches. And I was like, Christian Bale, I get it. I just can't.
100%.
I mean, there's a small part of me that's like,
the same.
No, it's not. But I look at that and I go.
But
No, I'm not saying that it was just
that was literally us on the roof like that.
I'm just like, I can't.
Right.
Like,
when it was like, okay, we're rolling. We're just gonna wait like 20 minutes before we shoot, and we're like, okay, we're dying. I had. Yeah. I'm not even joking. I counted. I had 15 bottles of water that day. I didn't pee once.
Oh yeah.
I sweated it all out.
The RV that all the misfits live in before they get to school. That's covered in tarp, which is,
you know, in the heat.
So it just traps heat in. They're like, Brant, why don't you carry this 30-pound thing of guns up these stairs and walk in and say your line? 4 times in a row, they'd be like, yeah, could you try it again, but not out of breath?
And you're like,
no, physically, no, I can't.
And you were wearing like a thermal, too, right?
So that's so I'd come up and I'd be like, I found us a new home.
I also don't know if you guys noticed, but you know the bits that they put in the air, it was supposed to be ash? you know that stuff bled onto your skin? Like, it would dye your skin. It would get in your shirt, and it would turn black on your skin. So for, like, 3 days, there would be black smudges on your skin.
We love our job.
I love our job.
I love everybody. This is job security, please.
No, I'm so happy for this job. It's so happy, but I love
you forgot to do the little siren that this is the part where we just complain.
Actors complaining corner.
To be totally frank with you, I didn't actually notice any of it. I was just commenting on what other people said. In season three, Barrett's very excited.
Season three, Barrett's the only one alive.
The thing is, though, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, and sure, you guys were sweating, you guys were having like this crazy time to get it. But then it makes it so much more exciting to show people, because it's like, I worked so hard for this.
That creates this real.
So we're really struggling.
Yeah, we're sweating.
That's the thing. This is an apocalyptic show, so there is a struggle. And when you go through it on set, I mean, there's a degree of like method with it. Seriously, where like, you know, if you're exhausted and you're, I mean, it really does help bring you there, you know? So, I mean, there is that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, I'm rooting for season three. Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So much fun. And again, where can everyone find you all on social media?
Tyler Chase Official.
On Instagram. You have to keep saying where it is, dude.
It's there.
I'm Megan Rinks on Instagram, Twitter, all of it.
Awesome. At Brant Daugherty on all of the things.
Who is Leo on Instagram? I am Leo Howard on Twitter.
At Ryan McCartan on Twitter. At MCCARYA, pronounced Macaria.
Macaria.
On Instagram. Follow me. Great updates.
McCracken.
Cracken.
Got a black and white theme. So.
I know. I saw
Hashtag Nikki DiMartino. She told me to do it.
I love it. I love it. And you guys can find me everywhere at Mr. Dakota T. Jones. Make sure to follow these guys. They've got a lot of really cool, exciting projects coming up. And thanks again, guys. We will see you all next week.
Yeah.
Co-producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.